Jesus' baptism from Matthew and Psalms. The celebrations of Christmas are nearly over, and the parties have subsided. We last left Jesus safe in Egypt, Herod now dead. His son has taken over, and the wise men safely traveled back to wherever they had come. Today, we move quickly to a time some 30 years later when John the Baptist appears on scene with a grand entrance. His ministry of truth-telling and enemy-making only second to his countercultural dress and diet. He is calling for all people to repent, to turn from their ways and wait for the one to come. He calls them a brood of vipers. Who are these vipers, and what is his problem with them? John has an insight to the heart of people and their motives. Some believe that he was Elijah returned. John was true to himself and to the calling he has in the ministry of repentance. We have some modern-day John the Baptizers preaching their mostly countercultural ministry, tattooed and speaking a language that could be offensive to many traditional worshipers. These non-traditional preachers remind me of John the Baptist. John preached what people needed to hear for God's righteousness. Oddly, this lesson is not about John the Baptist, and John tells us that when he introduces Jesus for baptism. John wants us to get ready and be ready for Christ's righteousness. John only paves the way and tells the vipers of his day they need to bear fruit, fruit worthy of God's righteousness. The vipers are the leaders, the officials, the ones who know what is supposed to happen in church. John didn't like them thinking just because they are from Father Abraham, they are righteous, or that it is okay for them to do whatever they want to people. John is talking to pastors and people who work at church, claiming history as their authority. Just because I'm a pastor does not entitle me to God's righteousness. That does not mean I can do whatever I want or say whatever I want. John is telling us that just because our parents were Christians, who lived good lives, caring for others, attending church regularly, does not mean we are living in God's righteousness. It only means our parents were God's people living for God. The fruit I bear needs to be good fruits glorifying God because of what I do, not what my parents have done. In baptism, our commitment to God as a disciple is to share the good news. Julie M. Bloom, lead pastor in Maple Leaf Lutheran Church, Seattle, Washington, reminds us what being baptized into Christ means. Julie says, "Oftentimes we think we are baptized for our own benefit, but in truth we are baptized for the sake of others and for the sake of the world. We are called to make Christ known." End quote. Abraham, given a blessing from God to go, bringing a blessing to all nations. Be a blessing to others. Find justice for those without justice. We spread the news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. As baptized disciples of Jesus Christ, we are all called to be sent into the world. What we should have learned from this text is that it is not about John the Baptist or us. It is about Jesus and God's relationship with us as God continually comes to our rescue in a world that appears to want to see us suffer. Jesus is here because God loves us and wants a loving relationship with us. Repentance is the beginning. Christ transforms us in baptism. Jesus brings right order and justice to us as God's children, not John the Baptist, and not the pastor, the professors, or teachers of Scripture. God in Jesus opens the gate of God's righteousness to all God's creation, gives us life and light in a dark and cruel world. Amen. Let us pray. Righteous God, you sent your Son, Jesus, to to be baptized by John in the Jordan, so that all might hear the proclamation of your love. Make us voices of proclamation, so that all might know of your love through our words and our actions. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.